a few verses here tonight if you want to follow along with me. This is 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. I'll read a few verses here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Do you love your life? Let me read this to you. And actually, these verses are a quote from Psalm 34, almost exactly. 1 Peter 3 and 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation. Amen. Now let me just read you a few verses, about three or four verses here in Psalm 34. In verse 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Amen. Those verses are almost a direct quote there in 1 Peter chapter 3. Now this week, I think it was maybe yesterday, that the scientist and the professor at Cambridge, former professor Stephen Hawking, died. Stephen Hawking, he said the brain is just like a computer, and when the parts start to malfunction, then that's all there is to it. It's just over. That's what he believed as an atheist. He believed that our physical body and our brains were really just like machinery. And when it wore out or broke down, that it was just like a piece of machinery to be discarded. And he believed that heaven was a fairy tale for people who are afraid of the dark. That's what he said. Heaven is a fairy tale. And when I read some of those things that he had said in his life, I thought, contrast that with the man that died a couple of weeks ago, Billy Graham, and all that was said about his life and putting his trust in the Lord and the absolute confidence that his family had. They said, you know, we know where he is. We know that he's in the presence of the Lord. It's important how you live your life. It really is. It's an important thing how you live out the days of your life. You may be intellectually superior like him, but if you do not have the knowledge of the Lord, you don't know anything. You really don't know anything if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and understand the plan of God. I'm thankful that as a young person, that I was exposed to the truth, exposed to the gospel. I had opportunities to hear things that I know a lot of people don't hear and weren't growing up learning about the things of the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. I think that God intends that we live our life to the fullest. And I know that everyone has all different types of needs and circumstances that people face in their life. But the scripture says, I've come that you might have life. And more abundantly, that they might have it more abundantly. Now, the first part of the verse there in John 10 and 10, it describes Satan, the thief, who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do with your life. That's what he wants to do with every person. So many that are bound in sin, so many that are living a life that daily they're being destroyed by their lifestyle and life choices that they have made without God. And every day their life is just gradually being consumed by sin and by the things that are... And that's the work of the enemy, to destroy your life and destroy the potential of your life, because he knows that a life that is committed to Jesus, dedicated to the Lord, has an unbelievable potential. It has a potential that God can use. I read where David Livingstone, he was that famous African missionary, that when him and his brother John were young, they, in a discussion as just young boys, what do you want to be when you grow up? I guess every kid talks about that. What do you want to become when you grow up? John Livingstone said, I want to be a businessman and I want to make a fortune. I want to make a fortune, a lot of money. Do you know that's exactly what happened to John Livingstone? That he lived his life as a businessman and he made a fortune. His brother David Livingstone said, I want to go to, he was a young boy, I want to go to Africa and serve and spread the gospel and serve people in Africa. And of course, you know the story that whenever he died, he actually died on his knees in the jungles of Africa. He died on his knees. The Africans so loved him for his commitment to them that when the English came to get his body, they said, no, you can't have his body. And finally they agreed, and they took and they cut his heart out, and Livingstone's heart was buried in Africa, and his body was taken back to England and given a royal funeral. On his brother John's tombstone, it doesn't say anything about what he did with his life. It just says, John Livingstone, the brother of David Livingstone. And so he lived his life out for things that he wanted to pursue, but really, David's fame came because he honored God with his life and he served the Lord. So the scripture says, he that would love life and see good days, or with your life, that you would live it out however long. I mean, God is the one that measures the length of our lives. And that's not the issue. The issue is not necessarily how long, although I believe that he's put in our heart a desire to live and live as long as we possibly can. But that's really in the hands of the Lord. But to live your life to the fullness for the glory of God, that's really what matters. To honor the Lord with your life. Contrast the death of a brilliant physicist and then a young man who just started preaching the gospel when he was a young man. And it's an incredible thing how that you can live out the days of your life if you'll put the Lord first. The Lord knows how to bless your days, to bless your life. He that will love life and see good days. I think we should love our life. We should understand that God has blessed us with a certain amount of time, and that time is a gift. It's a gift to us to use it for his glory, and we shouldn't use it for other things, but we should love our life, understanding it's a gift, it's a treasure, and it's something. Time is something that you can do good for God. You can do good for your fellow man. Amen. Think of ways. Ask the Lord to open doors for you. And Lord, help me this week to be able to do good for my brothers and sisters and my fellow men. Help me to do good and honor you in what I am attempting to do. To live my life and to see good days. To see good days. Then notice it goes right into not only here in 1 Peter, but also in the scripture that I read to you from Psalms. It goes right into our relationships. How our relationships are going. How we are getting along with people. And how that we are treating one another. You want to live a life that pleases God, then it'll be a life that loves your fellow man. And you treat your fellow man in a way. You demonstrate the fact that you care about them. I don't know about you, but I feel guilty sometimes when I pass up someone that's hitchhiking on the road. And I know they might be a mass murderer, and I've been warned, don't pick them up. But I feel guilty. I feel guilty just to drive by them. And I know that it can be a dangerous thing in some circumstances, but you certainly need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit if you do that. But you can't hate your fellow man and love God. It's just not possible. When you love the Lord, you're going to love your brothers, your sisters. You're going to love those that are without the kingdom of God. You're going to care about mankind and what is happening in their life. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. There's this association of your life and you're living a good, long life with how your relationships are going with your fellow man. Amen. Amen. And the Lord can help us. Amen. How we interact with people, the way that we develop our relationships with all kinds of people. It says we should seek peace, ensue it, or pursue it. We should look for ways to restore if there is any kind of something going on between you and your fellow man in the church or outside of the church, that you should seek with all of your heart to heal that, to restore that relationship. Isn't it interesting that the very verses that are talking about living a good life that honors the Lord, that it immediately starts talking about your relationships with your fellow man. Let him eschew evil. It means he hates it. He avoids evil. He avoids it. And he does that which is good. He avoids that which is evil. And he pursues righteousness. Amen. There's just something that happens in a person whenever they are born again and touched of the Spirit of God, that they will be pursuing good and righteousness. And they will avoid those things that are wicked and evil and that could mar their testimony. To love the things of God and to hate evil. Amen. Despise the things would bring any kind of a breach in your fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Let him eschew evil. Let him do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And that's a two-pronged thing because we know he's watching. And you could say, well, that means he's watching over me and he sees all the bad that I'm doing. It's true, he does. But he's also watching over you, the watch care of the Lord. He's also taking care of you. He knows what's going on in your life and he's taking care of you every day of your life. He is taking care of you. The eyes of the Lord, that's a good life, to know that you serve a God that every day he is taking care of you. He is watching over you. His ears are open unto your prayers. He's watching over you. And he's ready to hear you if you cry out, and if it's only just the name of Jesus, he hears that prayer. His ears are open unto their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want to love your life and live a long life that is pleasing to the Lord. Understand that God is with you, taking care of you, ministering to you. Every day of your life, God is ministering to you. The watch care of our Lord from the time you get up till you go to bed, and actually through the night hours, the Lord is watching and taking care of you. That's one of the benefits of being a child of God. Amen. He is watching over you. And who is he, verse 13, and who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good. What a wonderful verse. This is the good life. This is the life that we should love, understanding that we have a God who cares about us, who is watching over us, and there's not an enemy. There's not an enemy that can destroy us and defeat us. It's just not possible. You say, oh, but I have trials and I have problems, and the enemy does attack me. Yeah, and that's addressed in the very next verse, verse 14. But and if we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Why? Because you know that God's watching over you, that even if he allows you to go through some severe trial, that even in that he's watching over you, and that he is going to take care of you. He's going to bring you through it. You're happy. It says, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. You know that even in your trial, your problems, and the adversity of your life, you can be happy because you know that God has not forsaken you, but he can use even this adversity and trouble in your life to make it into something that's good and for your good and for the glory of God. God even takes our problems and our troubles, and he makes them into something that will benefit us if we will allow him to. This is the good life. This is the good life. Knowing that God is with you and he protects you from evil and trouble. But if he does allow you to go through trials and adversity, you're happy anyway, because you win anyway, because God is with you. He's bringing you through it, and he'll even use that. Amen. Like Brother Dave said Sunday morning, there's a blessing in it. In the middle of it, in the middle of your trouble, in your trial, your circumstance that you're going through, it may be heartbreaking, it may be challenging, but you're a child of God. You belong to the Lord. He's even able to take your trouble and your heartache and use it to shape something in you. And you can be happy tonight to know that even in the middle of all that you're dealing with, that God is with you. Be not afraid of their terror, nor their neither be troubled. No matter what you experience, the Lord is with you. This is the life to live. Amen. This is the abundant life. This is the life that's a joy to live, because all of Satan's plans and efforts, certainly he attacks us to destroy us, but God uses all those things and turns it around for our good. Praise God. So it's a fail for the devil. He doesn't succeed whenever he tries, because we are sons and daughters. We belong to the Lord. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify him. Really, it means to esteem him highly in your heart, so that when someone comes to you and asks you about what's going on in your life, that you're going to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You esteem the Lord. You sanctify him in your heart. And you're able to say, yeah, I've gone through a trial or two. I've gone through a heartbreak or two. But the Lord has been faithful, and he's brought me through it. And not only has he brought me through it, but he's taught me things, and I've learned things. I've come through these things, and it's been all for the glory of God. I haven't been destroyed by it. I have been strengthened. And somehow God has used all this for my good, to benefit me, because he loves me. I'm his child. Praise God. So it gives you a testimony, a means to testify and to tell the world we are to love life and to do good with the time that we have in this world. And none of us here know how long that we have, but we need to be spending our time, our hours, doing good, honoring God, pleasing the Lord with the time that He has given to us in our life. Verse 16, the last verse. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your good behavior. Praise God. Amen. You live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. No matter what comes against you, you can stand with boldness and courage in the middle of it all and know that God is with you, that God is faithful to help you in the situation that you're in. There's something about a confidence that we get from serving the Lord, an assurance that we have that God is with us, He's watching over us, He's taking care of us. And when we go through things, sometimes He protects us and keeps us from going through the worst of severe trials. But if He chooses for us to go through it, He's shaping something in us so that our testimony will be perfected, so that we will be able to say something that will honor the Lord. We'll have a way to honor the Lord. Glory be to God. Let's read those verses in Psalms again that goes right along with this 1 Peter text. What man is he that desireth life, or he loves his life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Peter was just quoting the psalmist, really. So he must have been a reader of the Old Testament. And he was repeating the theme here in 1 Peter. Glory to God. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. I think a lot of people, they get discouraged with their life and the way things are going. You know, it's a terrible thing to despair of your life. That's the work of the enemy that wants to make you think your life is not valuable and that you're not important or that you don't have value in the kingdom of God. Oh, he's such a liar. He's such a deceiver. You are valuable to the Lord. You're valuable in the body of Christ. You mean something to God, and your life means something. Your life means something. Amen. I know Brother Huff had a lot of friends, a lot of people that he knew, a whole lot more than I ever knew around this area. But almost every night, he was going to the funeral home. And I really think it was a lot of the people were his friends, people he knew. But I think also it was a statement of that he was saying, this is a life that was important. Their life was important. And I want to give recognition of the fact that I appreciated that person and that person's life. Praise God. Do you know all of you here tonight? You're valuable and you're important to God. Your life is valuable. Use it for good to glorify God. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us. You're watching over us, ministering to our needs, Lord, day and night. Oh, we're so grateful. We're so grateful, Lord. And Lord, I know, God, that you care about everyone in this service tonight. Not one is not precious and valuable in your sight. And I thank you for them. And Lord, I pray that you would help us all to use our life, our time, for good, for the glory of God, to honor you, Lord, in all that we are doing, to use the time that you've given to us to please you. Thank you, Lord. Bless each one, Lord. Thank you for this service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.